Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
How about now?
Maybe it'll work. Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back. There's an awkward delay on this thing, so we got to make sure that we're actually here. But anybody who's looking at our screen right now, we are starting off this podcast with Carl Boudreau up there saying, I don't do spoilers. Sorry. But more important than that, we'll get to Carl. Alexa's back. That's Alexa right there, everybody. Who missed Alexa? I know.
Hi, guys.
I know I missed Alexa.
Honored to be here. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun traveling around watching baseball. And pretty much 30 seconds after the Yankees game got canceled tonight, Phil texted me and he's like, hey, what you doing tonight?
I was staring at ESPN all day like, please, for the love of God, let this game be canceled. I mean, as a Yankee fan, too, I want that game to be canceled so that I don't have to compete with I don't have to compete with Survivor. I want this anyway, but I this is great. Alexa's back. This is your first appearance since the season has started. We have a lot to talk about. Most importantly, we have to talk about the fact that Chelsea lived all of our dreams and then lived all of our nightmares within 4 weeks. And I sat there. I've watched this episode twice now. And I sat there a little bit sick to my stomach after the first airing, and I just said, damn, like, I did not want to see that happen. And I know Carl is in the chat. I know Carl predicted this 2 weeks ago. He said Chelsea's going to go home with an idol in her pocket. Look at him again, being right, the fourth place boot. He puts a hex on those people. He did it to Rick Devens last year. He does it to Chelsea this year. And I'm not even upset that I had her at number one or anything like that. It's just when you know it's a huge fan like that, you know it's somebody who worked so hard to get on the show, to have them go out like this, oh, it just hurts. It just hurts.
At least she gets to take her idol home. At least she gets to keep and doesn't have to buy it off eBay. Got to think about that stuff.
That's evil, Alexa.
But yeah, well, I know. As someone, like you said, like we want to be Chelsea, like we want this so badly. But I mean, obviously I've been listening to you and intern and Vaughn killing it, and I haven't really been tweeting much, but I was side texting Phil and I was like, everyone's giving you shit for putting Chelsea at number one. I got your back. Like, I'm feeling Chelsea. I feel like she's in a great spot. And then the second man, I think every single name except Tom and Aaron came up tonight, which is crazy, and we'll get to that. But the second Missy said Chelsea and gave those like three really good reasons, girls still have power, hiding behind the three guys, Krishma's our vote, I was like, she's screwed. She's gone. And she has no idea. And then when she said, I love a blindside, I was like, oh God, she's gone.
Digging and digging.
She dead.
I just, it's like, I was waiting for it to turn on Aaron. I was waiting for everybody to
Me
say,
too.
You know what? Aaron's got to go home. He's being too cocky. Who said this guy
could do domineering? Yeah.
Yeah. I was really surprised. And also, I think, I mean, we talked about this maybe 2 weeks ago. Was this the right move? Or Will and I talked about it on the Will Bull Room. Was this the right move when they got rid of, why am I drawing a blank? When they got rid of Vince. When they got rid of Vince, was that the right move? And then the week before that, was it the right move to get rid of Molly? This week, I think this is the wrong move. And I'm not just saying that because it's Chelsea. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that because now with a swap coming up, your tribe is in complete disarray. Yeah. I don't care that they all voted together tonight. It shows that none of you are trustworthy, worth anything. Karishma, they shown 15 times saying she's going to flip. You know, they showed it again tonight. The confessional was once Karishma gets to a swap, she's just going to flip. Well, next week, there's a swap. And then on top of that, you have Aaron, who's still kind of doing his own thing. You have Dean, who now definitely isn't going to trust any of you. That other tribe, there's eight of them. There's or nine of them. There's only seven of you, and you guys aren't tight. You had a chance to just be tight tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, I go a lot of different ways here. And yeah, for those of you who say that Phil's a Chelsea stan, he's also a Missy stan. So you just said to them, Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it was the right move. I don't think getting rid of Molly was the right move. I don't think getting rid of Vince was the right move. But this is like the I rewatched like season one, episode one, about an hour before this because I had nothing to do. And I can't imagine. I can't believe that this is what Survivor is now, where this season, like this wasn't even the case last season, where it's just bouncing, bouncing, bouncing. And everyone's trying to hit their big moves and they're doing them early and they're getting rid of. Like, if you told me Vince, Molly, and Chelsea was the final three, I would have believed you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just
and Ronnie really could have been fourth.
Yeah, exactly. It's so crazy. And I love it, but I don't know what everyone's long game is here.
That's what I'm thinking too. These are players, and I said this once again. Yeah. I'm just promoting the crap out of the Wilgle Room because Will
love the name. Who came up with that?
Will, of course. I don't even like saying
has
it out
Josh
loud.
Wiggler subtweeted anybody yet? I feel like we owe him some money.
I know. That's why I don't even like to say it, but Will likes to say it all the time, and I call it the Will Podcast. But he likes to call it the Wilgle Room, and I don't know. But again, I forget exactly what I was going to say because now I'm so obsessed with that line.
Something about how there's a lot of ping pong gameplay.
I said the thing that we learned from Vince's vote out is that everybody on this season, aside from Nora, which we'll talk about Nora, don't worry.
My girl.
Yeah, your girl.
Spoiler, I love her.
Now. But aside from her, everybody on this season is really, really good at Survivor, and they all think that everybody else is a lot worse at Survivor than they are, and that's not the case. And tonight, we definitely saw that because Chelsea thought she was a lot better at Survivor than everybody else on her tribe, and she got too comfortable. And I think that's how they're all playing the game, though. I think they're all acting like they're so much better than everybody else, but they're all really good at the game. And they're all playing way too freaking hard. I was expecting this to be saved for season 40, which pretty much aired. The premiere was tonight. But I think I was expecting this type of gameplay. And like, you know, you think of this in all returnee season. Everybody's coming out for their second or third time. And Jeff always says that to people, play this like it's your second or third time. And this is their first time, and they are playing like it's their second or third time. Because how is Chelsea the fourth boot on this season? And she... I love Chelsea, but she might not be the biggest character out of the first four boots or the person with the best chance to win out of the first four boots. That's how good these first four boots are.
It's absolutely insane. It's crazy. I'm really, like you said, I'm really curious to see how this tribe swap goes, because as much as Vokai kind of has the one person who's, for lack of a better term, being a hot mess, they are so much more cohesive than this Lyro tribe. They're... I mean, Jason immediately got back in, and I'm talking about things that happened over the past month because I haven't had a platform for them. But when Molly was voted out in all of Molly's exit interviews, she was like, Jason was all good. Like, I think it was kind of played up that Jason was in a worse position than he actually was. And especially tonight, he was so good in that leadership role. Both of them were. And I'm going to talk about Elizabeth because I'm sick of all the Elizabeth slander that's flinging around this podcast. The two of them, but Jason, because he won. Such good leaders. I'm very upset that Nora wasn't the caller because I would have paid to watch that. But Jason was fantastic. He had such a good, calm voice, and people are always screaming during that. So he was awesome.
Tell me, though, that there was no better moment, maybe in the history of the show. This goes up there in the top five than when the entire tribe, when Lauren turned and just stared at her and said, Nora's sitting out. Nora goes, really? And it was, yes. Wait, are you sure? Uh-huh. Nora's
going to sit out.
Because they... The way she explained the lie started off okay, and then it was just
it started out. I was pretty into it at first.
I was behind it. Like, you got to convince them, like, how can you make me the caller? But you had to tell them something else aside from that, and it was so unbelievable. And to tell them, you guys just have to pick my role. Okay, cool. All right, well, your role is going to be sitting out. And I love that they never told her that, because you could just see the look on her face. She was so confused. It was so hilarious. I do want to say, before you get into Elizabeth, after tonight, I love it. I think she has learned a lot in 3 weeks. And you got to remember, that first episode was terrible.
Okay. Can I go?
Go.
Okay. She wasn't terrible in the first episode. What I love so much about Elizabeth, and what I think is so refreshing about Elizabeth, and I know everyone craps on her for this and it's not her fault, is that she's not this gigantic super fan. And that is what made it so fun to watch her go to Island of the Idols first. And she, like, we are watching someone learn how to play Survivor. All these other people are freaking blindsiding each other. And Elizabeth tonight, like you said, she was so, so good. She was playing mediator, and this ended up going down Missy's path. But Elizabeth said, I don't want to do this, which so many people do, and they get in trouble for it. You're always, what does Stephen Fishbeck say? You're always supposed to say yes to people and then deal with it later.
She did say yes, though.
She said yes, and she put her foot down and said no. This was when, I don't even remember whose freaking name was. Dean? I think Dean's name was coming up.
It was when Dean's name was coming up, yeah.
But everyone says she was so freaking terrible. So yeah, she jumped on the fire-making challenge, as I would have done. So whatever. Like, Kelly negotiated because Kelly backtracked. Elizabeth didn't think to negotiate. Sure, that's her fault. She comes back, and everyone rips on her for lying, even though now everybody knows that they're being told to lie. And I think she's great. I think she slays it in challenges, obviously. And she's kind of the most normal person out there, which is shocking considering she's an Olympic athlete. But I am so into Elizabeth, I will have none of this slander.
I will say that the two most normal people out there are the two athletes. Because I think the other most normal person out there is Tom Laidlaw.
So yeah, normal. Like, he's also so normal. The flower in the ear cut. I couldn't get
unbelievable. That. That was unbelievable. So MVP funny. To the editors for that, because that was absolutely epic. The way it was, we're not even here to play Survivor. We're out here doing, and it's just him sitting there, and like, he's just looking off, and like, I want a Tom Laidlaw t-shirt where like, he's got the flower in his ear, but then he's also like crunching two hockey players' heads together, because that's what he did. That's what I want more than anything. So somebody make that for me.
Yeah.
But
it was awesome.
I think that you're right. Elizabeth has just grown on me. And obviously, we're all going to overreact to episode one because it's so stupid to lie. But now we know that they're all being told to lie, so we're not going to react to it anymore. So now I've forgiven her for that. And as I'm watching her play, what I love about Elizabeth's game is she is being loyal, but she's not being so loyal that people are taking notice of it. And I think that's an incredibly hard thing to do, because Elizabeth is getting her way almost every single time, but she's not being so blatant with it that she's putting a target on her own back. And that's really impressive. And I think that that's not even being a good Survivor player. I think at the end of the day, Chelsea's still a better Survivor player maybe than Elizabeth, but Elizabeth just understands how to interact with people, how to like feel like when you're on a team your entire life, like she was to be an Olympic athlete, you just live differently. And I think that we're seeing, once you hit day 12, everybody's going to learn how to play Survivor by then, unless your name is Nora. Everybody's got to learn by then. And so everybody has, and she's really done a great job of it. Giovanni Oriana, Elizabeth is decently dope. Agreed.
I love it.
No, she's really grown on me. I kind of don't like that they all went with this move, because we'll still talk about it. I still don't think it was the right one, but she has she's definitely playing better Survivor than she was early on.
Yeah. And speaking of bad lies, I know I had to go on her tangent because I was sitting on that for like a month, but Nora's lie started out good and it got worse and worse and worse and worse. And I, like you said, I love that they didn't tell her that she said that, like, they decided against it. And when Rob and Sandra, when they sent her off, even Rob was like, she's a hop. Like, I don't think she's going to do well. And so I thought that was odd, because we were going into the challenge thinking that Nora was going to be the caller. And I wasn't sure I felt about that because I feel like they were knowingly putting that tribe at a disadvantage because they knew that she wouldn't be a good caller. Rob and Sandra.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be unbiased. So what did you think?
I have a lot of problems with this. And I'm going to start off with number one being, I know they still get tree mail. We just don't see it. It's not a big deal. But unless that tree mail said, this is a blindfold challenge, start practicing now. That Vokai tribe had such a huge advantage going into the immunity challenge because they knew exactly what the challenge was going to be. And what I don't like about this is they didn't win a reward in order to make that happen. They just won the first immunity and it set off this flip-flop back and forth. And they just happen to be the tribe that goes fourth. I don't like that because they are at such a big advantage compared to Lyro who doesn't get to do this. So I'm not a fan of that. That's the first thing. Second, Rob did not get to finish reading the parchment. Okay. So I don't know if you noticed that he still had more to read. And I noticed that because he was about to start talking again. And then she said, I'm done. And he kind of like looked up and smiled and was like, well, I guess I'm putting this in my pocket. He was definitely taking a pause and going to wait and say something. He just started going. She was just like, screw it. I want to do it. So she went all in on it. But yeah, I also think that Robin Sandra should have been like, hey, like you may, there should have been something else to this. This was weird to me because this was too much influence on the actual challenge, which is the most important part of an episode in the pre-merge portion because it determines who's actually going to have to go to tribal council. So I thought that there was a lot of things I had a problem with here, but I don't know if you felt the same way or if I'm overreacting.
I totally missed the parchment thing, but again, this is because we're viewers, but now that we've seen what happened with Kelly, where you don't even have to negotiate and they'll haggle it down for Nora to just, but I guess that's kind of how she is. We've seen her interrupt people for her to just come in and say, yeah, I'm in. Then I guess like she kind of made her own bed with that. And with how much screen time she was getting, I thought she was going to go home and then they ended up winning. And it didn't, she was like the entire first half of that episode. But yeah, even Sandra, now that I'm thinking about it, Sandra said something like, you sure? You don't even want to think about it? Like,
eat your watermelon, chew your watermelon.
Where the frick did they get a watermelon from?
No, why does Nora get a watermelon for going? Like, what is going on here?
Well, it's one of her favorite things as well.
Oh my God, it was so ridiculous. I love it. Did Boston Rob, like, were Boston Rob and Sandra like farming watermelons out there on the island?
Or? That is a beautiful watermelon.
Yeah. I don't know where they got that one from.
Nice and red looking. Also liked, I mean, now we're really kind of going backwards here, but the tribe needing to unanimously pick somebody instead of getting out of a hat. Love that. And then I kind of like the quick jump cuts. It was like Lauren, Tommy, a couple other people, and they were all saying why they didn't want to suggest themselves. And then it cuts to Jana. I thought Jana was going to do it. And Nora just like pops out of nowhere. I loved it.
Yeah. Further proof that somebody on Vokai is going to win this season, I think, just because we're getting so much of them and they don't go to tribal and it's like, boom, 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 jump around. We're getting really well thought out reasons for why you don't do stupid things on Survivor. Mm-hmm. And then Nora's just like, I'm ready. I'm down. So she goes running over there. I think though, 100 times out of 100, you just got to pick out of a hat in this thing. I mean, I think it was Kelly who said it.
Well, because Kelly wanted to back off.
Yeah. She wanted to back off. And she said, that feels like kind of a cop out. I just think like they're lucky they have Nora. And because otherwise I'm saying reach my hand in the bag, guys, like that's just how we have to do it. And I think on every other season of Survivor that doesn't have Nora on it, they just reach their hand in the bag and somebody pulls. I don't think that they're letting, because even like, let's say that was somebody a little bit more threatening. Let's say Jamal, who by the way, found an idol tonight. So we'll have to talk all about Jamal, but like somebody like Jamal, if he says, I want to go over there, they're all going to say, nah, I don't know about that because like he's on the outs. You're not going to just say, yeah, sure, Jamal, go ahead. So I think that because it was Nora, people were just kind of like, okay, whatever, but also reach your hand in the bag, everybody.
Yeah. And that's what worked out for Kelly. And it's a different situation, but kind of what worked out for Elizabeth when poor Vince goes to Island of the Idols, everyone's like, we got to get rid of him. And Elizabeth's just standing there like having lost a vote from it. And now Kelly is totally in the clear because Kelly had the most convincing lie yet out of the four of them. And everyone knows that Nora's lying because it was just making less and less sense. Mm-hmm. So Kelly already has that like gigantic wall in front of her, Nora.
Well, and yeah. Kelly can just say, like, I don't know where that's coming from. Like, I don't know what she's talking about. Very strange. But another thing we did see there during this entire thing is something that we have not seen ever on Survivor. This is a very rare occurrence. As Michael Kontos says, the editors need to stop bullying Eric. Every season, I feel like we see Eric Reichenbach give up his dang immunity idol. And I feel for the kid, man. I mean, Eric's a very nice guy. He made a mistake when he was 21. He is now like, he's like now like 34, something like that. Maybe I'm exaggerating. No, he's probably about 33.
He's like married now.
Yeah, he's married. He's living his life. He's just trying to go on. He makes really cool art drawing. And every season that they could figure out a way to have him give up his idol, they do it. This also felt like a huge, like, hey, guys, remember like, Yule winning Survivor, remember Parvati winning Survivor, remember Boston Rob winning Survivor? It's like, all right, guys, we get it. We
what's
get
the
it.
Next season?
Yeah, what, is there something with winners coming?
Yule? Yeah, that was
Yule.
Well, for this one, one, I'm glad that they, because they've only recently started doing this, giving Sari her due credit for that, because that was Sari's move, but everyone says it was Parvati's move. It was both, but whatever. And like, finish your drink if you ever thought you'd see Adam Gentry on our TV again. Like,
Adam Gentry and Nate Gonzalez back to back.
Yes. And oh my, yeah, like Cook Islands, like, where did y'all come from? This episode has a lot of like really funny moments. And that I was just like, why is Yule? Oh, next season. Like, that's why we're talking about Yule.
Yeah. I mean, because Yule, of all people, it's random. And especially he's talking to Penner, who everybody remembers. And if you think about it, the people who the winners were talking to are people we all remember. And they got their little Amber shot. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Got the Boston Rob and Lex, like, don't know where their friendship stands. I forget where that ended up. But
yeah,
brought that up. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah. It was good, though.
Sandra was like, yeah, Sandra's starting the rumors. Coach and with Russell. Coach and I haven't seen Russell in a hot decade.
I know. I wonder if Russell's pumped about that. Russell was asking who you were on Twitter, you know?
Oh, yeah. And then I replied to some dumbass girl and I got not enough traction because I thought that was funny.
I thought it was funny too, but I guess people, you know, they don't respect funny women, Alexa. Okay. That's so true. Maybe you got to be dumb.
Yeah. Some dumbass girl.
Just some dumbass girl.
Yeah. That was fantastic.
For all the Island of the Idols we've had this season, this was my favorite one. One, because Nora is so ridiculous. Two, because it was very short. And three, because we got these flashbacks to things that we definitely don't need flashbacks to. But anytime we can get like a old style sitcom episode where it's like, hey, remember the highlights of our show? Like, I always think of like that one Friends episode where it's like, remember when we moved the couch up the stairs? Anytime we can get that type of thing on a Survivor episode. I mean, we're so far into the show. It just shows like what other reality show on a season where the players aren't actually like what these players never have played before. They're all newbies. We can still show clips from these past seasons and have them not involve the two people who were there, even though two of the clips did. But like, we know exactly what's going on in those situations and we remember them perfectly. I mean, Parvati's confessional like that is one of the best confessionals ever because it's what I do. And that smile that made everybody just like either fall in love or hate her. It's great.
Two things. One, what do you think about this being the first time where the person on Island of the Idols isn't offered an idol? She's offered a block of vote, which I can't remember. That's not
I'm okay
new,
with
right?
it. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, because I don't want everyone getting idols. And what is your take on Nora? Because I thought you hated her at the beginning. You're allowed to not like her because I have more than enough love for her for this podcast.
Oh, no, I don't dislike her. She's not a Survivor player. And she even said that tonight. I'm a novice. She is unbelievably entertaining. She's unbelievable. And I think on a season where all the players are so good, you need a Nora because you really do. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of Abby Maria back in Philippines. Needed an Abby. Yes, exactly. But you needed an Abby Maria back then because like Abby Maria, like if you look at the rest of that cast, a lot of them were so good at Survivor. And I think Abby Maria being there kind of like pulled you back in of like, okay, like you can still just kind of be like good TV. You don't have to be good at Survivor. Nora is great TV. Her laugh when Rob said the like, oh, you'll get the last laugh. And she started doing that thing, like, which I will not even try to replicate. Like, it's October, it's spooky season. So I was like, wow, that's scary. But no, I'm fine with her. Like, look, same thing I said for Abby going into Cambodia. I don't want her to go too far because I think you hit your limit of it. I haven't hit my limit of Nora yet because Nora is still kind of oblivious to it. But like in three episodes, I might say, okay, that's enough. But if she gets out in three episodes, Nora is fantastic pre-merge survivor character. Like fantastic.
Totally fantastic. Transitioning, speaking of laughs, Jamal has the best villain laugh I've ever heard. It's beautiful and evil and it's awesome.
I was thinking the exact same thing. His laugh, I even like how like his laugh just kind of plays into how he's talking. So he'll be like, yeah, I was doing that. And then I went and it like, it just comes up in the middle of his sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's so cool. Jamal, for as bad as Jamal was in episode two, and like he kind of got cracked,
not good.
Cocky, he's fallen asleep. Jamal's a very likable guy, and I really like Jamal. And I think that him finding the idol tonight, he's getting a little bit of an underdog story. He's really smart. And what I think is interesting is he is really smart, and Aaron is being portrayed as almost the voice of reason over on the Lyro tribe. Remember, these were the two guys who were on the wrong side of the numbers and shown just being completely out of the loop in their first tribal councils. Now they're both going to the swap, and both are in pretty good positions as far as I can see.
Yeah, after the Molly episode, and I've made it pretty clear, I hate cockiness. Like, I hate that kind of player. I'm never into that. Like, didn't bring his freaking back. Like, what are you doing, Jamal? But even after it, I found myself still rooting for him. And I think that says so much about either how beautiful his voice is, or just like you said, like how naturally kind of likable he is. And his like idol hunting confessional was really, really cool. It was all about patience, all about being very calm. And he just plucked it right out of the tree. It was super chill. He was really great tonight. And I think we are going to get like a cool underdog villain thing from him, which we don't really see.
Yeah. And what I thought was cool was they zoomed in on that immunity idol. And I think that that means this one's either getting played correctly, or what that means is there's going to be another one that's made that looks exactly like that at some point. That's fake, because that one looked so shitty. And I mean, like, congratulations, art department. You made a really bad looking idol, which I know is what they wanted to do.
Three shells and a string?
And a string. So good job. I'm glad it looked like crap. But I think somebody's going to make one that looks very similar at some point in the season, because we've never seen an idol zoomed in on like that. That was weird.
Yeah. And again, like, I don't even know how to play Survivor anymore. Like, that's the simplest idol I've ever seen. That's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, like, would you believe that was real if you were out there? Like, you find that idol, are you like, is this fake?
Yeah, like, I like wouldn't believe it, but I guess I would, because have we ever seen a fake idol pre-merge? I don't think so.
I don't know.
Do something with like the beads for the merge flag or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but at this point, like, yeah, if I found an idol on day one, I'd be like, this is probably fake because it's two shells.
Yeah. Well, and going back to this whole getting booted with an idol thing, which is what Carl's prediction was and why everybody's like, Carl's spoiled. Like,
it's Carl, almost as if Carl played Survivor.
Carl's just Nostradamus over here. He's just unbelievably good at predicting these kinds of things. I might owe him a 30 pack pretty soon. But but what I think is interesting, I know Chelsea is probably beating herself up so bad over this episode. She is probably beating herself up. She's probably has been for the last however many months. But this is not old school Survivor. How many people have idols already? We are four episodes into the season. Chelsea has an idol. Jamal has an idol. Kelly has an idol. Vince got voted out with an idol. Last season, we saw Kelly Wentworth get voted out with an idol. Honestly, she played one of the best female games we've seen on Survivor in her Cambodia game. One of the best female losing games we've seen on Survivor in her Cambodia game. It was an incredible game playing from the bottom. Getting voted out with an idol is no longer this rare occurrence. That's this thing that's super hard to predict because there's so many idols in play. So for me, I know Chelsea is beating herself up over this, but you can't know it's coming every time. And getting voted out with an idol does not, if you get voted out with an idol back in like season 20, you're kind of a buffoon a little bit because there weren't that many idols and you got to know it's coming. And people know how to play you so well because they're so worried about you having an idol that if you're going to blindside somebody, you have to completely blindside them because there could be an idol in anybody's pocket. So I don't know. That's like my little silver lining for Chelsea. I don't know if that is any, you know, anything, but, and it's my thing for Carl, because I know he's been getting a lot of crap on Twitter, and people are crazy, because especially since one of the people who's calling him out is somebody who spoiled the first boot for half the people on this podcast. So don't really have any sympathy for you, kind sir.
I know exactly what you're talking about. So, oh God, it's such a good train of thought. Chelsea,
you're out of practice. It's okay.
I know, crap.
It was almost a full month.
Oh, whoa, that was another thing. I know. I hate that I missed the premiere. That sucks. But I was reading one of Ron, I think like Mike Bloom had tweeted that in the first tribal council, 90% of the conversation was about Elaine, 10% was about Vince. Ronnie's name never came up. Chelsea's name never came up in conversation. And I think Jay said this, like part of the reason that Jay held on to his idol so long in Millennials versus Gen X is he said none of the tribal council conversations were about me. So I figured there was a different target. You can't even use that anymore, because no matter what, people are just like talking about whatever the hell they want at tribal council.
Yeah.
It's all just smoke and mirrors at this point. So you can't even gauge like what the questions being asked. All right, that's not a sentence,
it's,
but whatever.
No, you're right, though. You're right. It's just, it's a different game of Survivor. Anybody who's going to play in the future, like, pay attention to what's going on in this season, because this is a very different, this I feel like is the future of the game. And I don't feel like that with Edge of Extinction or you know, David versus Goliath. David versus Goliath was really great. Sorry, I know Carl's in the chat, so I have to say that. Otherwise, he'll call me on the phone mid here and just start yelling at me. But I think that this is what Survivor is going to be with the new cast, the new casting person and whatever. I think that that's just how this is going to be in the future because of the type of people who are playing. These are all really big fans. And the people who might not be that big of fans still understand. Elizabeth is clearly not a big fan. But Elizabeth is a competitor and an athlete. It's like Scott Pollard. Scott Pollard goes out there and plays Ko-Rong knowing how to win a game, knowing how to play the best he can in order to put him in a position to win. And that's what's happening on this season. So I just think, like, if you're watching, this is a season to pay attention to, because this is the new.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like this before. This is insane.
You see what I say right there?
Carl, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. Absolutely.
Oh,
right, Phil.
Get out of here.
Get out of here.
The man spells cool with a K all the time. I love it.
What else? Oh, chaos is a ladder. Karishma.
Yes.
MVP for just that.
What's it from, Alexa?
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, okay, good. I tweeted it so hard. As soon as she said it, I was like, oh, queen. I said new
hashtag
queen.
Hashtag queen. Oh my gosh, you never say queen. She's a Rob Deodis.
I said new queen. You're going to quote Littlefinger on my favorite show. Oh, Karishma, you are after my own heart. I'm going to have to move you up, which means you're probably going to get voted out soon, because that's what happens to people I move up. But man, that is just like one of my favorite scenes from Game of Thrones. Littlefinger is the greatest character in TV history. Anybody who disagrees is just wrong. He is the best ever. They didn't do him justice on the show, but Karishma did him justice tonight, and she's going to dig out of the pit she's in or whatever she said, but she's going to climb the ladder of chaos. I'm so pumped.
So other than how amazing she is after that, where do you stand on Karishma's placement on this tribe right now? Because that doesn't even matter because we're in a swap, but I'm trying to figure out kind of which, I'm sure the truth lies somewhere in the middle, but I really liked her confessional. I think fair play ripped it apart, but you know, the sun rises and sets when they were swimming and Elaine was like suplexing Chelsea in the water, and it was the cutest thing in the world. And Karishma was saying like, I don't fit in. This isn't the culture I'm accustomed to. I was like, I totally feel that. I totally get that. And then today, I think it was Dean who said, like, she doesn't do anything around camp. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm sure the truth lies somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, she's out. Like, she's totally ditching them.
She's totally ditching them. And I do agree with you. The truth lies somewhere in the middle. That's how it always is on Survivor. We see the polar opposites of everybody's personality. It's exactly what you said about Molly. Jason was never on the outs. Jason was always kind of in. They play up the story that we need to see. Karishma right now is getting an underdog story. So we're, of course, going to see the tribe. She's getting a villainous underdog story, though. Not villainous. Villainous isn't the right word. But
anti-hero? Is that what an anti-hero? I don't know what an anti-hero is.
An anti-hero is kind of Rob Cesternino, because Rob Cesternino in Amazon wasn't the hero of the season, but you wanted to root for him despite the fact that he was playing like a villain. Karishma is not really playing like a villain. We should be rooting for her. But then there's also things that are said where we're like, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't be rooting for her. But maybe on a season where Sandra Diaz-Twine is giving people advice, maybe Karishma is playing the most like Sandra Diaz-Twine did her first time out, which is, I'm not really going to do anything around camp, and I'm going to yell at you whenever I feel like it, but we're still going to kind of root for you, which is what happened with Sandra.
Yeah, and look at Sandra Nash. She's giving advice to people. Yeah, I think Karishma could really benefit from going to Island of the Idols. I don't know how long it's going to be there.
Forever.
Yeah. After last week, I was like, how are they going to top this? That was only the third thing they've done, and he broke into camp. So,
yeah, as Will said, they jumped the shark on that one. Like what, that was a weird one where it's like, okay, we're already at this point. Like, are we out of ideas already? We're only on the third one here.
Yeah, that one, I didn't find that to be as exciting. But I like how this one incorporated the challenge. So again, a lot of kinks to work out. Though they did say this was something that I don't really know where I stand on it. And I know you got a lot of crap for it, but Rob and Sandra's commentary and what that means from an editing perspective and from a viewer perspective, they said, like, they made a comment about Elaine. They were like, she never knows anything, which I thought was odd because we are supposed to fall in love with Elaine. So I don't take their opinions as anything, because the first thing they said was, oh my God, Krishma is so smart. And not that she's not smart, but we're being shown a very different side of that. But I don't know. I thought that was odd.
I don't think I had said that about Rob and Sandra at first, but I don't actually think necessarily that that's the case. I actually think that like somebody like Elaine actually doesn't really know what's going on, but that's how she's playing it. And a lot of people said this about Wardog and Edge of Extinction. They thought he was so stupid when they first showed up on the island. Like, Lauren and Kelly have both admitted, like, we didn't think he knew what the hell was going on, but he wanted that. And I think that's how Elaine's playing. I'm just going to sit back and be dumb and boom, boom, boom. They're moving so fast. Elaine isn't stupid. Elaine knows what's going on. She can keep up, but
she cried on the first tribal. She's a genius.
I actually think that Rob and Sandra buying it speaks to how good Elaine is at actually playing it up, because Rob and Sandra are even fooled.
Yeah. Great point. Fantastic point.
Thank you. Thank you. Pat myself.
Yeah.
I see. Intern never told me I made good points, so that's why I needed you back.
And now Rob and Sandra, they're starting to meet people who they've seen at tribal council, because now both tribes have gone to tribal council. So I think that's pretty interesting too, because they watched Nora struggle in that first tribal. So I'm sure when they saw her, they were like, oh, wow, here we go.
So what do you think? Three tribes of five next week, and the person left off goes to Island of the Idols and is not eligible to be voted out and comes back into the game on the tribe?
Probably.
That's what I'm thinking.
I was going to say, oh, they go to Exile Island, and I realized that this is Exile Island.
Alexa's living in 2004. Okay, moving on.
Yeah, they probably do that.
Yeah.
And I think I'm looking in the chat. People are pretty down on Missy.
And me.
I don't know, and you, but people are always down on you. But with the Missy thing, people are saying, like, oh, the cast is catching on to how good Missy, or like Missy's gameplay. I don't think they are. They all rolled with it. We are, but we're not playing. This game happened 6 months ago. So I think if Missy swaps, Missy's actually probably in the best position, especially if she has Karishma. Because, I mean, she kind of talks about Karishma as if she's just like a second vote. But if that's the case, then that's great for her.
I'm really surprised that people are so down on Missy. I've been looking at that too. We got Brandon Factor, Missy Estos, Sorry Missy.
Everyone agreed with her.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. She's the one who put this into motion with Aaron. And what I see is, like, yeah, people were talking about, I don't know if we should do it. I don't know if we should do it. But they really kind of looked like they were going to take it out on Aaron. Somebody said, Elaine said, Missy's unbelievable. She, one second she wants to do this, now all of a sudden she wants to vote out Chelsea. But Elaine went along with it because she obviously trusted Missy more than she trusted Chelsea. So I don't know. I think Missy's running the show. And I think there are two people only who can win from the Lyro tribe. Who do you think they are, Alexa?
Missy.
Yep, that's one of them. This is Alexa thinking for anybody who's only listening.
Yeah. Tom, you really like Tom. No,
it's not Tom, though. It's Aaron. Aaron and Missy are the only two who can win the game from Lyra.
I'm liking Aaron. I was really down on him. I think I said he was like a gym bro and all that stuff. But he had like an understandable meltdown after the Ronnie boot. tonight we both said that he was kind of strong-willed, but I think he's just really passionate. And I think that comes off as angry because he's probably the strongest personality on that tribe. But it's also partly because I think they need him. Mm-hmm. And he did pretty well on that puzzle, even though, you know,
he did really well. I have a problem with this puzzle. But
let's hear it.
I could not figure out what was wrong.
Oh, I can't show you, but
you could show him, but it's a problem because it was so quick that like I wanted to be able to watch it. You know, like when they do the ones like where Carl got it right, but he was wrong, and then somebody else figured it
out.
You
wanted to watch
them
make
it. See it the whole time. I could not see it, and that bothered me because I'm like, oh, good, they fit the pieces in. That's great. And then it was like, no, they're not right. But it was also Jason saying it wasn't right. But his puzzle was put together. I needed an aerial shot the entire time.
Yeah,
because I could not tell what was going on. And then when it was like, when Jason said, I'm wrong, I'm like, bro, it is put together. Stop being dumb. But they never really told us why it wasn't. But go ahead. Why was it wrong?
So the triangle. So I can't really remember, but there's all the circles on the outside. And then there were, let's say, three or four triangles on the inside. The triangles were like, this is not good. One of the points was like shifted and it wasn't actually attached to the triangle.
One of them was like a little bit wider than the other or something, right?
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
But yeah, again, I wouldn't have known that otherwise.
Yeah, I thought that was really weird. And like, I just looked at it real quick. And then the second time I was even looking for it, I'm like, I guess it's something like that. But I thought that that was just too quick. It wasn't visual enough for the audience. And I'm so used to it. The puzzle pieces fit together. Challenge is over. We're celebrating. Rip your blindfold off. Jeff says you won. But that wasn't the case. And that kind of bothered me a little bit. So I just wish that that was standing up maybe, or that there was a different way that we could have viewed it. But that's just kind of a minor thing. Mm-hmm. Another thing. We're finally starting to hear from Dean. And I just said that there's only two people on Lyra who can win, but Dean already won because he got to be Little Spoon. And I just love that because Chivalry,
a great Little Spoon.
Chivalry ain't dead, kids. He was the Little Spoon to Chelsea. And then Chelsea goes home and Dean's still in the game. So Dean, good on you, man. You are winning all accounts this year. Also, Dean's like 5'7". I know that like he looks like really big and muscular and stuff, but he's not that much taller than Chelsea. And I think Chelsea's like 5'2 or 5'3. So just want to throw that out there too. But somehow Dean played basketball at Columbia. So I don't know what's going on here. My mind is spinning.
Dean's going to get that sea of money because he's a Little Spoon. Heard it here first.
He should. It was so adorable. And then his girlfriend gets voted out. And now he's crying.
Yeah.
His 3-day girlfriend.
Dean is not looking good. No, I don't know. He's looking pretty rough. Last week, he was trashing Karishma for being bad at the puzzle when he was also on the puzzle with her.
Beautiful.
Not a great look. Yeah, loved that. I don't know. Things are not looking good for Dean. But the showman's thing, I knew that wasn't going to be a thing. And Chelsea was like, no, it's not. I just think he's cute, which he objectively is. But again, the girl... Someone do the math on this. Again, it's the girl who goes home in the showmance. And I really thought in this situation, it was going to be the guy.
I think the showmance was kind of an excuse too. I really do. I think it was kind of an excuse. I don't think that this was much of a showmance unless Chelsea is like, Chelsea's not dumb. And she even says it there. Like, I don't want to do this. It blows up games and all that. She knows it. But like, you got to sleep, don't you? Like, would it be okay if she was smuggling Karishma? Yeah.
I thought cuddling was normal. I thought everybody cuddled.
Except for Tommy, who has nightmares. So
that was scary. Poor guy.
Yeah, poor Tommy.
I was like, I thought we were all down with cuddling. Dean's in the best position.
I don't think he meant it that way, but he definitely was in the best position.
Little Spoon is the bomb.
He's winning.
Dean's winning this game and the spoon game. Yeah, so even that, I was like, that's not a showmance. It's like freaking cold out there.
Yeah.
And then even, you know, they cut to what they showed in the preview, him like grazing Chelsea's arm and she like takes a step back and then laughs like very clearly is not trying to touch him. Love that.
I loved her Instagram post today of Love is Blind with the two of them.
Yeah. He posted the exact same thing. I love it.
Oh, see, I don't follow Dean, so I'm not smart enough. I only follow Chelsea. Sorry. Sorry, everybody. I think I follow Chelsea, Jason, and Tommy, and maybe Missy. I think that's it from this season. So
yeah.
To everybody else, you got to earn your follow. If Janet Carbon had one, I'd be following Janet, but she doesn't have one.
She feels Facebook friend request is still pending to Janet.
I actually find it very funny. I think it's over there. So you know how like normal grandparents, I need to tell this story, Alexa, now that you're back. And okay. Since we're talking about Janet. So you know, like a lot of this cast is from, yeah, a lot of it is from New Jersey, the Philly, New Jersey, what that area, you know, we have Westfield. We have even Tommy, he lives in New York, but we have that whole area. Normal grandparents send their kids money in the mail, right? Or like their grandkids money. Like I live on the opposite side of the country from my grandfather. And, you know, normally you would think like, okay, he's going to send you like $20. You know, that's always the joke. You're going to get your $5 Christmas card. Instead, I get, and I think I'm going to find it, Alexa, and you're just going to have to go. He sends me an envelope that is so thick. I'm like, holy shit. He just sent me $5,000. Like he sent me so much. It is a bunch of folded up newspaper clippings. That is a giant Survivor article from the Asbury Park Press, which is like our local newspaper. Yeah. And he's got X marks next to the names of the people from New Jersey, because that's who it's talking about. And it's just hilarious to me because like, it's almost like he's notifying me like, oh, did you know that this Chelsea girl is on Survivor? And I'm sitting there like, oh no, I had no idea, you know, but
meanwhile, you're like pouring it out looking for cash.
Yeah. I'm literally unfolding. I'm like, it's gotta be in here somewhere. It's gotta be in here somewhere. It was never in there. It was never there.
It's yeah, so sad.
I think I gotta see if I can find the newspaper article, because this just proves people the newspaper industry is not dead and Survivor is killing it in the newspaper industry. It's a giant article. Alexa, keep talking. I'm gonna find
I'm gonna keep talking. Well, Phil just said that Survivor is killing it in the newspaper industry. Allegedly The Masked Singer is killing it in the TV ratings industry, and I've watched one episode of that show and I think it's ridiculous. So I think Phil is saying that like it got an overnight rating of like 5 or 6, which is shocking. I'm talking about how The Masked Singer is beating us in TV ratings even though Survivor's winning newspaper ratings.
Yeah, I know that we're winning newspaper. So this is what I get, right? I also got a thing from the doctor's office that said, get your flu shot, but this is the entire thing. So it's folded. And then it's just literally this. And I'm just sitting here and I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. And it's this entire page, this entire page.
So is that all the New Jersey people?
Yeah, there. Well, it's somehow it's Chelsea and Karishma sitting next to each other, which I guess is in bad taste now, huh?
Yeah. But you should nail it back to them and like put a big X on Chelsea.
I should. I should just say, like, if you never sent me this, Chelsea would still be in the game. Thanks a lot, Grant. But he'd probably be like, what game? I don't know what you're talking about.
I could just send you a cute girl.
Yeah, exactly. I was just sending you pictures. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Cute chicks.
And now everybody has a great image of how my grandfather is in real life. I'm not worried about the ratings though on TV. And Bradley and I actually talked about this after he put me through a panic attack. And then we went to a bar and we were drinking and then I had a cry on his shoulder. I'm not worried about the ratings. I'm really not, because The Masked Singer is only winning by 0.5 million. And who knows how many people are watching with CBS All Access or whatever else. I never watch it on TV. I only watch on CBS All Access. Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people do. It's a very young audience, and the audience for Survivor that is watching Survivor, it's probably a lot of like teenage people who maybe aren't watching with their parents. And if that's the case, they're probably watching it on their laptop. And that doesn't go into the ratings. So I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I'm not worried either. I just hate that it's a Masked Singer that we're losing to.
Yeah, sucks. Don't worry. It'll fall apart, Alexa. It'll fall apart. All right, where were we? Now that I went on my tangent.
I don't know. Janet. I'm talking about Janet for some reason.
We were talking about Janet. Well, I was just saying that I would follow Janet on Instagram if she existed.
Oh, true. This is like so not really worth talking about, because I know you guys talked about it a while ago, but I think one of the most like gorgeous cuts I've ever seen was Elizabeth versus Janet in that like showdown challenge. That was beautiful. And I saw someone say this on Reddit, and this sounds so silly, but there's something really satisfying about watching people do things that they're good at. And like, I could watch Janet and Elizabeth swim for hours. Like that was just a gorgeous shot. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool too. I thought that was, I talked about that way too much, I think.
Yeah, you did.
I went really in. That's the thing. Like in these last few podcasts with you not here, there hasn't been anybody to reel me in, because it's like my show, damn it. Intern, you are intern. And Vaughn, you are better than me, but that doesn't matter. And so like, I've just been kind of going off on these tangents, and that was my big one for that week, because I had to defend Janet. I love Janet. She's great. I love Janet.
She was fine. Like even like you were right. She dove down and she missed it a ton, but no one was like, fuck Janet. They were just like, oh, I wonder what happened to her.
And Alexa also forgot we don't use the F word on this podcast.
I know. It just came out. I'm really
sorry. We haven't done our Patreon stuff yet for the month. So Alexa's getting it all out now, I guess, so that she can build up the Q&A.
For $10 patrons are going to be doing top 10 spookiest moments.
Yes, and spookiest might honestly be Chelsea spooning with Dean being Big Spoon and him being Little Spoon. So we have we'll see. I like to have fun with those. I think even when I did what did we do? Like the Times got schooled on Survivor. Like yeah. I was just going down the list and it was like literally you could look at somebody with a weird like The Rock eyebrow and I was like, schooled, done.
Schooled.
Get out of here. Alexa, Jace Phipps says he could listen to you talk for hours. And I realized I talk like 67% of the time here. So let me open this up to you. I'm going to open this up to you because we haven't heard your opinion for a lot of this. And I know that you are the hot take queen.
Yeah. Me and my takes. Nice.
Who is winning this season?
Oh,
and who are you like, who are you getting good vibes from? Where are you at on this cast? Cause we haven't gotten to hear what you're feeling about this cast. So I'm going to open this up to you and let Jace Phipp enjoy his night.
Hi, Jace. Gosh, don't put his other comment that he's put up. So either you can ask me who the MVP is, and I'm going to answer that, and then I'll go on a tangent. Mm-hmm. I think my boy Jamal's the MVP. I don't think anybody, and I forget which episode you guys are saying, like nobody on Lyra should be MVP because I don't know if that was a good move. So when you mentioned you think there are only two people on Lyra who can win, I think Missy can win. I think Jamal and Jason can both have really good like redemption arcs because they both started off pretty rough. And even though Jamal did the unthinkable of being alone, like everyone was going out swimming, a couple other people were going into the woods, he got an idol and no one seemed to even notice that he was gone. So I'm feeling really good about Jamal, who I believe I picked to win in one of my things. Mm-hmm. So Jamal and Missy, I'm feeling really good about, and Jason too, just because they kind of gave him the Nick Wilson really rough first episode, and look at him now. He's totally fine. He likes Nora and Nora likes him, but he's not attached to her. Like, and I don't think people see him as attached to her. Really upset that Lauren's not getting much attention because I think she's super bubbly and I think she's really funny and they're just giving us little quips of her, but I'm a little disappointed that we're not seeing more of her. All this Tommy stuff, loving Tommy. Not sure if it's a winner edit though. I think people are just really it actually kind of looks like you when you did that. And yes, it's only because you have red hair. I don't know. I feel like people are really jumping on that. And yes, they talked to Tommy a lot when they didn't need to. They did that with Julie a lot too. So I think Tommy makes it super far. But man, I think Tommy's so obvious.
Yeah, he is very, very obvious. And nothing about this season so far has been obvious. My concern would be that what ends up happening is Tommy is the only incredibly likable player left in the game. And we almost run into a Dom Wendell situation where kind of who's left, there's likable people, obviously, but there's only so many that you want to root for, because these first four people out, they had fans coming into the season and they had fans on this season. And Chelsea going home tonight, I know somebody said, I'm heartbroken. There's a lot of people heartbroken over this one. This is a big blow to the community. So they're setting up Tommy.
She represents everybody.
She represents us. She really does. And she knows that. And so I know she's probably bummed, but her dad's little cute posters and business cards are just all absolutely phenomenal. So her dad is the only one cuter than my grandfather. But yeah, I do agree. I wish Lauren was getting a little bit more attention, because Lauren tonight was freaking hilarious.
So funny.
She just spits gold.
Yeah, she does. That's great. Yeah, Nora's sitting like, oh, I am? Okay, gotcha. She's just very expressive, and I really like that. Again, I'm really behind here, but Dan continuing to touch women, like Hollywood executive touching women. Like it shouldn't be funny, but I think it's hilarious.
The problem is he's real. He doesn't seem like he's that bad of a guy. And so what's weird about this edit is, and like, even when Kelly approached him about it, I thought he handled it very well. I thought Kelly and him really talked it out. And it was just like, look, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be doing this, but now they are just going all in on it. And I don't think we're supposed to be repulsed by this guy. I really don't. I know there's some people who've reacted very strongly to this, and with good reason, but even tonight, they kept that shot of him hitting Missy in the face and almost grabbing her, her like bosom.
Wow. I can't drop F bombs, but Phil just dropped a bust.
But he like almost did. And it's just funny because you're just like, man, like he didn't mean to do that. This man is literally blindfolded and they're still playing into the Dan keeps touching people. Like,
yeah, storyline. And something that I want to say, because I don't want to come off as insensitive to the subject. Yeah. I'm actually glad that they're talking about or like highlighting it in this day and age. But people are saying rested his head on Jamal's shoulder. So it's all the above. But, oh, God. But, yeah, everyone's saying, like, oh, he's this big, bad villain. He hasn't been mean. Mm-mm. He's actually been quite friendly, quite overly friendly. And so what they're doing is I noticed they're making it, like, goofy, and they're giving him, like, a dodo vibe instead of the, like, creepy Hollywood exec vibe. I'm in no way, shape, or form, like, down with what he's doing at all. I would have been Kelly. I would have been like, get your sweaty hat off my leg and don't kiss my head the day after I tell you not to touch me, because that was, again, hilarious. But I don't know. I'm curious to see where they go with it, because I think they're handling a delicate situation with humor, and I always like that.
Yeah, I mean, I totally hear you. It's a totally, totally weird situation. It's a totally, and yes, Ethan Hazel, I did just say that.
I cannot get over the fact that Philip said the word bosom. He's also wicked tall. Like, he's one of the biggest guys out there.
He's huge. Yeah, he's huge.
Yeah,
he's huge. I don't know. It's a really weird situation. It's like, what do we do with Dan here? Because again, like, I don't think his intention doesn't seem like it's very, very bad.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Some people are touchy. Like, I'm not a touchy person, but some people are.
Yeah, some people are touchy. Wow, I didn't realize that word. Is that word like bad, Alexa? Is that a bad?
No, it's just like outdated.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was figuring. I'm like if you have to talk about
1900s.
I don't want to talk about lady parts and stuff. So I'm going to sit here and I'm going to say bosom. The way that it's being reacted to, you think I said something bad. But yeah, I don't know. Like, and also I think Kelly has kind of forgiven him for that. Like, Kelly didn't flip out when he came and like kissed the top of her head and stuff like that. She didn't seem like really bothered by that. Yeah, just don't touch. Exactly. That's all she's thinking at that point. But yes,
Kelly can win. I think Kelly actually has edit-wise, I think Kelly is slaying it.
Yeah.
She's doing really well. And I think that Vokai nucleus is like Tommy, Kelly, Janet, Lauren, I guess those four. I don't know where Jack Steele is. Jamal, I don't really know. But I think that four is definitely the squad.
Jamal is he's just going to mess shit up. That's all Jamal's going to do. I don't think Jamal's going to win this game, but I think that Jamal is going to come out there and he is just going to mess things up. And it's going to be awesome. I am so looking. See, that's the thing. We've lost four great characters. And I am not sitting here going, man, we're running out. Like in Ghost Island, when you start losing it, I texted you after the James one and I was like, this is no longer fun. I hate this. And that was before Bradley even went home. And now on this one, I don't really, feel that. Yeah, sorry. I'm looking at the live. And Alexa just snorted. She's back, everybody. Alexa just snorted.
Keep going. I'm sorry.
I don't even know why we're here. I have nothing left to say.
I missed it so much.
I think your MVP choice of Jamal is right. You are 2 for 3 on MVPs, which is good because you're
I'm not even here to defend myself.
Yeah, you've been Robert's been doing a great job. I forgot. I wanted to introduce you as Survivor Specialist fill-in intern or back. I really did. Demote you.
Really funny.
Make him feel good since he's sitting in a cafe alone drinking coffee.
What a great gift. Yeah, how did you break the news to him?
I'll do this. I'll do this so everybody can see how very civilized intern and I are together. I texted him and said, where was it? I said, did I even do it? Oh, yeah. Baseball game got canceled tonight. Alexa's back. You've been demoted. And he just said, RIP, LOL.
May he rip. He had a great 3-week run.
If anybody's looking for a CEO, I'm your guy. Because that's how you'd be told. Oh, yeah, by the way, you're fired and get out.
So I'm going to be here on Sunday. We are going to be joined by Mr. Johnny Fairplay himself. So you're afraid of F-bombs and you're afraid of bosoms. Buckle up, everybody, because we're in for a Sunday.
Get ready for a 4 hymns ad at least once.
Oh my God. Did you listen to their most recent one? I like his transition. It was
so funny.
You are going to lose me for next Wednesday because that is game 2 of the World Series. But I'll be back early November. But yeah, this was super fun. I've missed this so much. I was like sitting on planes and hotel rooms listening to you guys, and I was like screaming to myself because I had so many things to say.
About how good I am and how bad everybody else was, right?
No, you defended me a lot, which I very much appreciated because you usually don't do that.
I'm a nice guy. I'm a nice guy. Hashtag save intern.
Get it trending, people.
Can we get okay? So we always say we're gonna make merchandise. Who would buy a mug that just said hashtag save intern? We won't even make any of the stuff with our logo or anything. We'll just do that.
We actually got him a mug that has world okayest intern on it. Mm-hmm. We should get him a new one that says save intern.
Alexa also got me in her matching mug. So,
oh yes,
yes.
Which, I used to eat that a lot, but I haven't drank coffee in a while.
Mine's just collecting dust on my nightstand.
That's good. That is loved.
Not fair play. He doesn't talk about the current season. Oh, he will on Sunday because we're forcing him to do power rankings, and at least he's going to be he's been watching. And then after that, it starts to get real. Then after that, we got Brendan Shapiro, and then it gets so good. Everybody gets super excited because that November 3rd podcast is going to be the best thing ever, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. But get ready, kids, because November 3rd, it's going to be all fun and play. And
it's going
to
be lit.
There's going to be rebuttals to Sunday's less than stellar show. There were
some shots being shot. Like, where did it come from?
Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I don't know. But, what else? What else, Phil?
What else? I don't even have anybody I can defend on my fantasy team as MVP, mm-hmm. but I will say this. Nora was a great final pick. I am happy I took Nora over Aaron, despite the fact that Aaron was the correct pick. I am loving having Nora on my team. For the second straight year, which is always important, for the second straight year, I have the last fantasy team intact, completely intact, and I have all of my tribe left 4 weeks in to the season. I've not lost anybody yet, Alexa. That's just called picking perfection.
No, and, good for you. No, you have a good tribe. You have a good team. Who's Dan, right? Yeah, Tommy and Janet got a lot of longevity there.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, with the way they're building up Karishma, I might have a lot of longevity from Karishma. Nora, final three, obviously.
Duh. Hey, she made it this far.
Hey, did you notice tonight that they said one of Aaron's main reasons for wanting to get rid of Dean was that he had no resume? I found that very interesting, and I thought it was funny how much he talked about how bad his resume was.
Like, where are we? Like, how does anybody have a resume? You're all just right out of college. You're out of high school right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Aaron's really, really big on doing stuff around camp. And I think he was like, he's useless around camp. He was saying that, but Karishma.
Maybe right. Aaron has a crush on Chelsea.
Mm. So we voted her out.
So we voted her. Hey, that's, yeah. Hey, we've seen Brandon Hance do it for much less.
Yeah, that is true. Rest in peace, Michaela.
Anyway,
why did they bring that up? Everybody asks.
Yeah, right. Anyway, let's. There's nothing else I need to say. Vaughn got his eliminator pick in at 8:59 p.m. He got Lauren in. I also need to announce that as much as I hate Vaughn, I now hate him even more because tonight he met the real queen. And that breaks my heart. That breaks my bosom, if I'm allowed to say that. It just breaks it. It just breaks it.
Hashtag Vaughn, breaks my bosom.
Vaughn Stewart, he sends me, like, right before I'm about to go live, he sends me a freaking picture with the queen, and he mentioned me to her. And for anybody who knows what that means, that pretty much counts as my second interaction with the queen. So queen stays queen.
But she also knew who we were.
She knew who we were.
What exactly did she say?
I don't know, but she's been on the podcast before. Remember, she points at me and Will, and I start sobbing like a 4-year-old.
I have a screenshot of you with like your hand to your face, and you're like the happiest little kid I've ever seen.
That's we need that as a t-shirt where it's just like find yourself somebody who looks at you the way Phil looks at, and just put dot dot dot, like, because everybody who follows this podcast will know. So
good.
Yeah. Oh God, Candela the candle. I wish. It's not. It's not.
Oh God. Also, Candela the candle. You really need to change your picture.
Yeah. Terrifying.
I don't know where you came from, but huge fan. Yeah. If we had her on the podcast, I don't think we'd be able to like hide our excitement.
I mean, you might be able to, but
yeah, I'd be like, I'd be pretty cool.
I wouldn't.
You would. I would have to lead it, which I'm not very good at leading these.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, Alexa.
It's a millionaire.
Well, I love it. I love it. Winchell, never forget. But yeah,
her.
He met the queen. That's amazing. The queen. Bradley just watched the episode, if anybody was wondering, because I just got a text that is
in the morning.
Yeah, it's 10:05 out here, so he must have gotten off work, went and watched it. And I just got four letters in all caps. So you guys can all imagine what that was for a man who I do not think wanted to see Chelsea go home, just like most of us did not.
Wow.
Yes, Vaughn was at the live know-it-alls. He is a patron and he has a tier named after him, but that doesn't mean we stop him from going and supporting our adversaries. We love Rob, and it's good. I'm glad that Vaughn went, and I'm glad he got to go hang out. It looked like Julie was there too. So
yeah, hey, Julie.
I wanted my specific invite from Julie. I thought like she'd send me like a carrier pigeon holding a wooden toy that just said come to know-it-alls.
She still hasn't mailed you the wooden toy, like, of you.
Yeah, what is going on here? I've been waiting, checking my watch here.
Talk to her about that.
I know.
Hey, you guys hit 6,000 YouTube subscribers. That's pretty sweet. Also, we have 69 patrons right now, so get that up to 70.
Or don't.
But you should. Yeah, a lot of growth. Things have been great. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Hit subscribe on YouTube, listen to us on iTunes and what's the
Spotify.
Other one? Spotify. Yep. Phil, I've been like so out of practice. You've been doing a great job for me. And yeah, we'll be back this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific with Mr. Survivor NSFW himself to do our Island of the Idols episode 5 predictions and power rankings.
So yeah, everybody be pumped for that and bring your earplugs because there's going to be bad words. You all been warned.
Y'all been warned.
Bye.
Bye.